May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we worship this day. Amen. Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, plant the seed, the great seed of your word, deep in our hearts this day, and cause it to grow, and cause it to produce in us great faith and peace and joy and love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, there are many, many things that we do with our hands. Already this morning, maybe when you woke up, you did one of these. It's time to get up already, right? And then when you came into church, hopefully you shook someone's hand. Maybe give them a pat on the back. Maybe a little hug. That's wonderful to do as we meet again, Christian friends. We hold a hymnal. We fold our hands to pray. Many of you in communion reach out your hands as a throne to God and receive the body and blood of Jesus. What a blessing. There are many, many things, obviously, we do with our hands. What does God do with His hands? At the end of the Old Testament lesson, we have just a phenomenal little Bible verse. Many of us maybe have this memorized. It's so comforting and reassuring, which is a theme of the readings, as you know, today. Where God says this about His hands, one thing He does with His hands: "Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." What a Bible verse. "Behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand." Four things I pray we can learn from this. First of all, God would teach us here, our Heavenly Father would teach us how very, very, very special we are to Him. How significant we are. Let no one say today in the pew, "I'm a nobody. No one loves me. No one cares about me. I'm a little speck on this earth. I'm a little pebble in God's shoe. I'm an annoyance to God. He doesn't care about me." We are engraved in the palms of God's hands. We're the apple of God's eye. We're His beloved children through baptism. We're redeemed. We are significant. We are special. Two things quickly about that, being in God's hands. You know, God does many things with His hands. He works with His hands as we all work with our hands. This would imply, first of all, that whatever God does in this world is God shapes the world. He shapes the nations. You think of Libya and Egypt. God is ever shaping the events of the world in His great power. He's sovereign. God uses His hands to shape all things. God does that. As He shapes our lives and shapes the world, God ever considers us first. I'm going to put my hands to work. I consider my dear children, First Lutheran and every other Christian. How's this going to affect them? How am I going to work this for good for my children? We are first and foremost on the minds of God. He's ever thinking of us. Everything that happens. Sometimes we don't understand what happens. But all that happens, God will work for good for us. He considers us first. Much like many of you have in your wallet a picture of your wife, your children, your husband. You have a picture of them on your desk. Why? Because you want to think about them. You love them. They're on your mind. We are always on the mind of God because we're in His hands. We are not engraved on the sole of God's feet. How's that feel? Let me stomp on you again. We are not engraved on God's back. "I'll put you back here where I never have to see your name because I don't like you a whole lot. I'll turn my back to you," in other words. We're in the palms of God's hands. First and foremost, He thinks of us. Also, you can't think of God's hands without thinking of Jesus and the cross. For what else besides our names does God have in His hands but the scars where the nails were? And God puts us right there by the scars. As He thinks of us and considers us, He remembers, "I died for them. I died for them. I love them. I will forgive them all their sins. I will have mercy on them." We're right there by the scars. As we are there, we're ever to think of His death for us, His crucifixion. He loves us, forgives us. We all like to have our name mentioned, don't we? "I drove up today. Pastor, you and I have our names out on the sign here. We're special. And on the bulletin cover, your name." How'd Schultz get on there, by the way? Oh, that's okay too. Pastor Busher, Pastor Roberts, Reverend Schultz, we have our names listed. We're special. And I have a plaque here in my office with my name on it. Of course, I'm being silly. Who cares? What is a big deal? What matters is that our names are engraved in the hands of God Almighty. We don't have to make a name for ourselves. Our name is in God's hands. You don't have to have your name in lights. Your name already is in the light of the world, Jesus Christ. You can't get any brighter than that. Secondly, we are secure, God would teach us. Our salvation is secure, cannot be taken away. Focus on the verb engraved. God has engraved us in His hands. God did not take a pencil and write our name when we're baptized. All right, you're on there. I'll erase it tomorrow when you sin. That's not our God, not a pencil. He didn't take a marker. I'll just write it on a marker and it fades away over the years. Oh, I forgot about them. Too bad. We are engraved in God's hands. The idea is permanence. It's forever. It's permanent. It's not going to go away. We are ever God's. Never doubt that. God would teach us that salvation is not an idea He had. It's not a theory. It's not a maybe, a could be. Maybe I'm going to heaven, maybe not. Maybe I'm God's child, maybe not. I don't really know. I'm sick today, so He doesn't love me. I'm well tomorrow, He loves me. I'm wealthy today, He loves me. I'm not wealthy tomorrow, but stocks went down, He doesn't love me. We never really know. It's speculation. It's all theory. We don't know whether God loves us or not. Baloney. God has engraved my name in His hand. It's permanent through sickness, health, grief, loss, war. Cancer, He loves me. He'll never let me go. Don't doubt it. It's legal official, the idea of writing. Think of it this way. If you sold your home for $150,000, how many of you would seal the deal with a handshake? Like, shake hands, Pat. I'll buy your home for $150,000, all right? We shake hands, you got my word. We're done, right? No. By the way, I said 150, not 150,000. See? I can get around it, right? We sign stuff. We sign stuff. Every document possible. We got to sign our name, sign our name, sign our name. That's legal and official. My word's not good enough. Handshake's not good enough. I got to sign it. Then it's legal, official. Lawyer can see. You got your signature right there. It's legal. God has given us His word that He loves us. That ought to be good enough. Because God doesn't lie. That ought to be good enough right there. But God, in a way, knows we doubt. So God gives us this beautiful image here. Not only have I said it to you, I've written your name in my hand. It's written down. Your name engraved in my hand. It's legal, official. Don't ever doubt it, people. We are special. We are secure in our God. We are sent, number three. Because we are special people. Because we are secure in salvation, the baptized. We're going to heaven. We are sent to the ends of the earth to proclaim the wonders of our God. The Isaiah 49 text is a great missionary text. Really, the whole book of Isaiah is like a miniature Bible. How many books are there in the Bible? There are 66 books in the Bible. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Guess how many chapters there are in the book of Isaiah? 66 chapters. And if you read Isaiah, it is said that the first 39 chapters are a lot of law. Now, there's gospel there, too, as there's gospel, a lot of it in the Old Testament. But there's a lot of judgment and law the first 39 chapters. Kind of like the Old Testament, generally speaking. Then the next 27 chapters of Isaiah, 40 through 66, a lot of gospel, proclamation of salvation. The light has come, rejoice, people. And we have Isaiah 49 here, the second half. It's a great announcement of salvation in Jesus. The light has come. Get in the light, people. And we read here where the heavens are supposed to praise God. The earth break out. The mountains sing. And we read of people from the north and south and west gathering around God. How are people from the north and south and east and west, how are they going to gather around God? How are the mountains going to rejoice if we don't tell somebody? It's missionary. Go spread the word of God, the gospel, to the ends of the earth, that the whole world may rejoice. You know what the state animal of Tennessee is? I was in our school office, and they have a nice poster where they list the state flower and the state insect, a ladybug. You know what the state, this struck me, you know what the state animal is of Tennessee? You guys don't know what your state animal is? You say a cheetah? Well, it's not a deer. I thought it'd be a deer with a big rack. It'd be a black bear. Come on, we're in Tennessee. Big black bear, big strong animal. The state animal is a raccoon. A raccoon? This little weaselly animal, I know they're kind of cute, but they're dirty, and they like the darkness, and they're kind of mean and surly, and they're scared. We have honored the raccoon by being the state animal. And I thought, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are like raccoons. They love the darkness, and they're little, and they're kind of mean. And maybe they like to scavenge, and they're just making it by like a raccoon. And they're not so cute. We are not called to stay away from them and keep our distance. We are called to go to the raccoon, the weasel, the lost sheep, the Bible says. Go and share the light of the world with them. Bring, tell them that God has honored them. And God has honored us by making us His children, by dying for us, engraving us in the palm of His hands. What an honor to all of us strange sheep or little raccoons. Go tell all the people out there. Go invite someone to church next Sunday. We are not special people, secure people, so that we sit and do nothing. We are special and secure because then we are sent to the ends of the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Find a raccoon out there. Bring him to the light next Sunday. And all this, point number four, the Lord here is teaching us, reminding us, most importantly, of the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary's cross. You cannot talk about God's hands being engraved without thinking of the cross. We have God having hands here. When does God have hands? God has hands when He's born in a manger. We have God who is now incarnate in the flesh. It's implied and taught back in Isaiah 49. The God with hands, we think of the birth of Jesus, the sacrifice of the Son of God to come to the earth and be a baby. Then we think of the cross. If you have something engraved in your hand, that's painful. That hurts. There's blood all over the place if you engrave something in your hands. And so we think of the cross. We're not only Jesus' hands, we're bloody, but His feet and His side and His head and His back. And He sacrificed Himself for the sins of the world. It's all grace. God does the engraving, not because we're good. He just engraves it because He loves us. God takes the engraving at the cross to make it all possible. I read in my Reader's Digest one of the most difficult questions that was asked a college graduate. Who's in college, or many of us are graduates? Goldman Sachs, finance company of some sort. They ask college graduates questions to try to figure out how smart they are. And this is one of the hardest questions they ask, supposedly. They ask this question. If you were a pencil and you were put into a blender, how would you get out? If you were a pencil and you were put in a blender, how would you get out? You know what my response would be? Who cares? I'm not a pencil. I'm not in a blender. I don't have to get out. What's the matter? I realize they're trying some psychological garbage to figure out someone's mind. But this does apply. We aren't pencils, but we're people. We're not in a blender. We're on this world. And this world will burn. It's not going to be merely a blender. This world's going to burn one day in judgment. And how am I going to get out? How am I going to get to heaven? How am I, a sinner, going to be with my God in paradise? And the answer is the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And God is teaching us of that when He says, you've been engraved in the palms of my hands. I'll shed my very blood for you that you be mine forever. Who are we? We are special. We are secure. We are sent all by the sacrifice of Jesus. God has engraved you and I in the very palms of His hands. What a gracious God. Hallelujah. Say with me. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. We rise to sing The offertory, page 192.